When we hear the term preventative maintenance, what is it that comes to our mind? Things like cars, perhaps, preventive maintenance for cars, or maybe yard work, or even furnace tune-up. A lot of people will tune up their furnace each fall before the winter comes. Even dental work, checkups, and cleanings for preventative maintenance. Even taking medications for that reason, like flu shot, or for children, immunization shots, preventing diseases that could possibly come if we don't take those moves. Some preventative maintenance lists have many, many items on them, some only a few. A coffee maker, for example, I don't know how many of you have a Keurig machine. We received one as a gift, and depending on the kind of water you have, if you don't clean those pots out, eventually they just won't work anymore. So the preventative maintenance is using a cleaner to go ahead and clean those pots out properly. We cut the grass and do some yard work to prevent overgrowth and weeds that could come in. In some communities, if you don't take care of that, you could end up getting some sort of a citation. So there's a preventative maintenance item to keep you from having to pay a fine for not cutting your grass. Short lists that prevent big problems. Some lists are long, very long, and some lists are very involved. For example, a car. A list of preventive maintenance items for a car would include items like checking the levels of the different types of fluid, water, power steering levels, brake fluid levels, even window washer fluid, and the gas level, of course. If you don't have gas, you can't run. So if you're gas level, and I remember this, maybe some of you do as well, all of a sudden the gas gauge breaks, and you know when you need to buy gas when the car won't run anymore. So there's a preventative maintenance item, too, along those things. A big one would be changing the oil. We need to know what type of oil, what grade, whether synthetic or regular blend that you use, what's best for your car. Just a little side on that. I had a 1948 Flathead 8 Mercury. When I bought the car, it was a really neat car, but literally the lady who owned it never changed the oil. She just kept pouring more oil in, and she used non-detergent oil. So it got very thick, and I took it to a dealer to find out what I should do, and he says, whatever you do, don't change that oil. Your car will not run anymore. Just because of that. And so there's a lot of things that we need to take into mind. If we don't do that, what will happen? Things like for ourselves, our own physical bodies, there's preventive maintenance that comes into that as well, checkups for our health and exercising and so on. But what would happen if we don't do these things? We could get sick, couldn't we? We could get weak. Our attitude is also affected by the way we feel. Whether we have aches and pains or we have the flu or something else that's happening, our attitude is affected by the way we feel. And the proper exercise, proper food, and protection from the weather, like the heat or the cold or wind and so on, it is so important that these things are taken care of. But yet, as important as all this is, it's only stuff. Our spiritual life, drawing closer and staying close to God and living as Christians as we should, as God has told us, is much, much more important than all the stuff that we have in our life, first and foremost. A broken car can be fixed or replaced. A broken furnace can be fixed or replaced, or a water tank, same thing. Even our broken bodies can be fixed and healed. It takes effort, but it can be done, and we can get stronger if we're weak. But if we neglect our spiritual bodies, there is no replacing of them. If we commit the unpardonable sin, then we've lost. And what will happen? We will lose out on eternal life. There is a preventative maintenance item that we need to keep in the back of our mind, because that's definitely something we don't want to have to face. Just as there are many items on the list of preventative maintenance to cover cars and servicing furnaces and other types of things, so it is with our spiritual life. And there are things that we do need to do and bring back to mind. And as we're approaching the spring holy days, this is a good time to think about that. To prevent disaster and stay focused, So today we will look at only two of the many items that could be possibly on that list of spiritual preventative maintenance items. What things can we put on that list? There's actually a lot of them. Things that would help us in our spiritual lives as we move forward, that would help us maintain our progress, that we could walk the walk or talk the talk, or walk the talk and talk the walk, because it becomes a part of us, internalized. They would need to be in the areas of thought, word, and deed, and also our attitude. Those are the areas that we need to focus on. And in general, it would include reading, studying, meditating, and of course, praying. Of all the items that we could take a look at and could place on this list, we're again going to only look at two. And they would fall under one specific general heading as well. But the two items are communication and forgiveness. These two items would fall under the general topic of love. Now, this analogy could compare, if we're going to look at a car, to a tune-up. And just two of the items. And the car tune-up would, say, look at the analogy of love or loving. The two items of forgiveness and communication will compare to spark plugs and wires. So let's look at the details of the plugs and the wires, that being our communication and forgiveness. Every car and every truck runs on either gas or diesel and needs several different things to be able to continue to run properly, two of them, of course, being fuel and spark, or gas and the spark of the energy to make that gas explode so that the engine will run. If the car is off, a battery provides the spark to get that engine running, and then as the engine's running, it just continues to provide the electricity or the energy to cause that engine to continue to function properly. The spark is needed to keep the car going, but there is something that we need to do to get that first spark going, and that's something that comes from us. The wires provide a path for that spark to follow to reach the particular plug that's being ignited. It communicates the need of the item that is necessary to complete the function. Then the spark plug causes the gas to ignite, and the engine runs. This is, again, not a perfect analogy, but I think this gives us all a very good concept of what we're talking about and be able to visualize having the communication and the forgiveness that we need in preventative maintenance. Our first point on this list of spiritual preventative maintenance then would be communicating, the communication. There are several wires to provide spark to the plugs, and the plugs are numbered 1 through 4 or 1 through 6 or 1 through 8, depending on how many cylinders you have. And the number one wire going to the number one cylinder, whatever plug that is where the first signal is supposed to go. And then the rest of the plugs provide the order of communication of that particular needed function to the rest of the engine. Our point of communication, then, the first plug being the first wire, and the rest of the plugs, the rest of the wires, also comes back to us in our spiritual life. And that is the first point of our communication must be with God. And then all other communication being with everybody else. So the same thing applies to us as it does for the car with the spark plug and the wires. For an engine to work properly, there is also a critical point of attitude. I think all of us, especially when we were younger, we had a car that just seemed to have a terrible attitude. We just always had to keep working on it. And it's the same thing with us. If our attitude isn't correct as we communicate with God, this is very critical. And it's something that we need to have in the back of our mind when we're talking to God and we're talking to others, that our attitude comes across in our communication. So we need to pay attention to that. And we'll get into this thing on attitude a little bit more. If you would, let's turn to the book of Philippians to start. So this first point of communication has two aspects to it. First, with God, of course. and then with each other, pardon me. Philippians chapter 4. Communicating with God starts, of course, with prayer, as we communicate towards God or to him. Philippians 4, starting in verse 6. And I'll read this from the English Standard Version, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Too far. Sorry about that. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Verse 6, and I'd like to reread verse 6, but I'll read this one from the easy-to-read translation or version. Don't worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks for what you have. Sometimes that could be tough because we're physical and we're human to be able to get to the point where we're not worried or concerned about something, but we're instructed to make that effort. Talk to God. Communicate with God about absolutely everything. He already knows, but he wants us to talk to him about it. What are some of the things that we can cover and why when we talk to God? If you would, let's turn over to the book of Matthew. God the Father and Jesus Christ want to have with us a very deep relationship with every one of us individually and, of course, as a group as well. We can build this relationship by communicating with God through prayer. And prayer is talking to God. It's our moving in that particular direction. Matthew chapter 6. And for our prayers to be effective, we need to be focused, concentrate, and to be fervent in prayer, we must talk to God from the heart. Yes, we could be driving down the road and paying attention to traffic and knowing that we're going to have a bit of a challenge that day at work, and we could be saying a quick prayer about it, but that's not as focused as we need to be every day at some point where we talk to God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Christ gave us some instructions here about praying in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, starting in verse 5, and I will read this from the English Standard Version. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. Pray then like this. And before we get into the Lord's Prayer itself, let's take a look at these particular instructions as we approach the prayer, as he's teaching us. In verses 5 through 8, we are being told that what to do and what not to do. In verse 5 and 6, we are taught to pray in secret, wherever that's going to be, when we're by ourselves, so that we don't appear to others as being self-righteous or arrogant or hypocrites. And he states that their reward is with them. As you show off, you've already got your reward for doing that. Because God sees what we do in secret. We don't have to announce to him what we're going to do. He sees us. And he sees what we're doing, and he also understands our thoughts. And he will openly reward us for what he wants to reward us because of the way we live our life. And we need to avoid repetition. And this is a very easy thing to do, especially when we're praying, say, at a meal, where we say the same thing over and over and over, or a lot of times when we teach our kids to pray when they get up in the morning or go to bed, it's often the same thing. It's a repetition. And it actually gets to the point, even when you're saying the Lord's Prayer, that we don't even have to think about it. We could mouth off those words so fast and be thinking about something else at the same time. Our heart is not in it. We're not focused like we should be. So even when we're teaching our children, teaching them the proper way, and that it comes from the heart, not just a rote saying. The way we communicate with God is important to Him, and it should be very important to us as well. And our attitude about the whole thing is extremely critical. Verse 9 starts the prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And some translations say the evil one. In this, Christ is explaining in a little more detail how we are to approach our conversation with God. It starts in verse 9 that we are to pray directly to the Father. And in verse 10, we acknowledge that it is God's kingdom that is to be set up, and we ask that His will be accomplished. Yeah, there's things we would like to have done, but all things should be done according to God's will, and that's what we're asking, that God would direct it that way. In verse 11, we now can ask for our needs. But it states our needs, not my needs. It is important, of course. It reflects our attitude as we pray and as we talk to God. And that does not mean, as we say, our needs, that we cannot approach God about our personal, specific needs and the things that we're going through. Absolutely, we can do that. But it also says this as we're looking at the needs of others, different people. And we understand that, but often when we get into some sort of a stress situation, we will focus on ourselves first. And maybe because of time, we don't even get into asking God to help others with their needs. No matter what our needs are that we're going through right now, you can be guaranteed there are others who are going through worse situations. And keeping that in mind, knowing that somebody else is going through something tough, asking God to help them through their situation is very important. And then coming back and asking for our specific things, for personal healings and the different situations that we have. So this aspect of including others in our prayers is very important. And it reflects our attitude. In verse 12, we pray for God to forgive us of our sins. And again, it's our sins. Yes, for our personal sins. And as we're approaching the spring holy days, that's something that we have to focus in too, is how we live our life. But also for others who are going through tough situations, and maybe we understand that they are not quite at the point that they need to be, and asking God to please soften their heart so that they would reach out to Him and ask for forgiveness as well. In verse 13, we pray for two items. That we are kept from being led into temptation is the first one, and that is to be kept from succumbing to the temptation. Christ was tempted in every way that we are, and it's hard to imagine. It doesn't have to be he was tempted to pay attention to the iPhone. Obviously, that wasn't it, but he was tempted to pay attention to things that will distract him from what he was supposed to be doing, staying close to God. He was tempted that way as well, just as we are. But we're asking God to keep us from succumbing to that particular temptation. And we are tested by all kinds of different temptations. And again, we're asking God to help us to resist succumbing to those. And then the second thing that we keep in mind, that we are asking Him to keep us from the evil one. And asking God to, and we're praying to Him to protect us from all the things that go on, that Satan wants to pull us off track and get us to leave our commitment and focus towards God. There is a second part to communicating, that listening to God in our communication with Him and with us, that we're listening to Him talking to us. To do this, we need to read, we need to meditate, we need to be quiet and listen with our heart, to pay attention to how God talks to us. When we allow God's truth to fill our minds and guard our emotions, He will influence us and guide our thoughts and our conduct, our words, and our attitudes. We receive both spiritual and mental blessings and material blessings when we read and meditate on God's word and apply them in our lives. That is, that we're walking His way. Because God's ways are not our ways, They are much higher than ours. We cannot figure out how his ways work. We can only know this because God has revealed this to our minds. Our relationship with God and the Father, and Jesus Christ, will grow closer and more intimate for two reasons. Because first, he chose to reveal his truth to us. And then secondly, and we're of course supposed to seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. But then secondly, we choose to follow and to obey his instructions, the instructions from his words, and as he reveals them to us. I think every one of us realized when we first began to attend services, going way back whenever that was, we did not have the understanding that we do now, maybe 20, 30, 40 years later, because there's a process that we go through. But if we make the effort to apply the things that God has taught us in our daily lives, as we make progress, he will reveal to us more about his truth. And I think we all can look back and see that. When we live our life grounded in God's truth, our life is full of peace. And that's very important as well, a gift from God. We will grow spiritually and grow and develop discernment as well. This will guide our choices, and it will guard us against Satan's ways of his deceptions and his temptations as well. Because we do demonstrate wisdom in our ways, God will guide us and enable us to impact others. And that's part of the example that we need to be. And our example will be in maybe giving some advice or some input, and also setting by example. When we are going through things and people see how we respond and our attitude and our approach to them and to others, because of God's being in our life and the Holy Spirit in us, they will see that example. And that example is very important to be able to direct others as well. He will also give us greater opportunities and responsibilities to serve him and to serve each other. We would be wise to invest our time and our energy in listening to God and applying his words and his ways and building them into our lives, into our personality, and into our character, so others can see it, that that's the kind of person that we are. But it takes effort. We can't just think about it. We literally have to make an effort to do that. All other activities in our lives, in our day-to-day responsibilities, life strongly, incessantly, relentlessly clamors for us and our attention, and it seems so vital to us, so important for pleasure and for getting things done, but it's pulling us off center. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not how to make a buck today. That will come. But none of them offers us all those different pleasures and all those different things that draw our attention, offers us the spiritual, physical riches that is promised to us by God. Satan has a way of making it look like we can really enjoy wonderful peace, wonderful comfort, wonderful everything if we just allow our focus to get away from God into stuff, into all the things that are on media today, different ways of communicating that way. Our greatest danger to moving forward is complacency. To borrow a phrase, only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can prevent complacency. Nobody else can prevent you from being complacent. Only that choice only comes from us as individuals. Eliminating complacency is a part of preventative maintenance. This is critically important for all of us. The fact is that when we communicate with God or each other, there is a two-way requirement, or we are just talking at God, or we are just talking and communicating with others. You ever been in a conversation with somebody and you needed to give some information and that person just kept saying, stop, I need to give you this information, providing his particular or her particular viewpoint, and they really didn't want to care about yours? That happens a lot. And of course that's self indulgent on their part, but we have to be careful that we're not that way. When we communicate with God, we talk to him, but we need to listen to him. When we communicate with each other, it's the same thing. We all have lots of stuff we would like to spill out and get people's heads filled with all of our knowledge, like we've got the end all to be all of everything that needs to be there. But communicating and learning about things takes a two-way street. We need to communicate with each other, both speaking and listening. I think we all remember, seek first to understand and then to be understood. And that's very important in communicating. If we could, let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. Just as we want our cars to run at its best proficiency, we want our relationship with God to be at its best as well. As well as we would like our relationship with each other to be at the best possible way. And it takes communication. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll be reading this from the easy-to-read translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 3 through 5. Second Corinthians 1, starting verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father who is full of mercy, the God of all comfort. He comforts us every time we have trouble, so that when others are troubled, we can comfort them with the same comfort that God gives us. Do you see how that works? We share in the many sufferings of Christ in the same way much comfort comes to us through Christ. And that's part of what we need to learn as we communicate with God and he teaches us to be able to reach out in love and help others when they have need as well. We cannot know what others' needs are unless we talk to them. And of course, yes, we can learn about what other people have needs because maybe they're not here from other people. But the point is, we need to communicate to learn that type of thing as we communicate with each other. So the first point of communicating with God and each other is important as a preventative maintenance item. The second point of communicating with God, prayer, is not for show. We already saw that. It is a private activity, prayer to the Father, prayer from the heart, and praying for each other. Our communication with God by talking to him and listening to him as well as our communicating with each other is no small matter to God, and it should not be a small matter to us either. Our second point on this list of spiritual maintenance items would be forgiveness. And as we look towards the spring holy days, that's going to become very much in focus of forgiveness. First, asking God for his forgiveness, and part of that process is also accepting the forgiveness that God has given us through the death of his son and the resurrection and all that goes into that. Because if we don't accept the forgiveness, we're going to keep that in mind. And God, of course, forgives and forgets. And we're supposed to ask for forgiveness of something once and believe that God has forgiven us and move forward. So that first item is accepting his forgiveness as well. And the second one is forgiving others. After the Lord's Prayer, we find that it is in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, there is another instruction that we receive in verses 14 and 15. This instruction, and it's also a warning from Christ, is critical for our relationship with God and also with each other. So let's take a look at that. If you would turn back to Matthew chapter 6, then we'll look at verses 14 and 15. And I will read this from the King James Version. Matthew 6, starting in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And from the easy-to-read version, verse 14, yes, if you forgive others for the wrongs they do you, then your Father in heaven will also forgive your wrongs. But if you don't forgive the others, then your Father in heaven will not forgive the wrongs you do. Each translation says this just a little bit differently. The point is, if anyone sins against us, does something wrong that hurts us in any way, manner, shape, or form, trespasses against us somehow, or offends us in some way, or we think they have, maybe they didn't, but we just think they have, in any way, manner, shape, or form, as I said, we are to forgive them just as God has forgiven us. And I know that can be a very, very difficult thing to do, especially if it impacts us physically, emotionally, financially, or any other way. Sometimes that's extremely difficult to do. And we can all look back in our lives or in the lives of other people who have gone through some terrible things because of what somebody else has done. And perhaps we understand that they're struggling to be able to forgive that individual. We can communicate to God that asking him to soften us, but also soften their minds and their hearts to be able to forgive somebody so that they can have the right relationship with God as well. He can forgive them and he can forgive us of our sins as well. This actually, let's turn to the book of James, if you would. This actually takes us back to our first point in communicating with each other. We may think that somebody did something or said something that was done, any kind of an event, but we need to also understand that perhaps it was nothing more than a misunderstanding. And communicating with somebody about that, a misunderstanding can be brought both onto the same page, so to speak, so that we do understand and can walk together as brothers. James chapter 5. Christ taught us how to pray, and we need to remove our traditions that can actually contradict what God taught us, like holding grudges. It's extremely easy for us to hold grudge against somebody, never talking to them until they clean up their act or change their life. We need to be honest with God and with them and with ourselves as well, and look the individual in the eye. And again, that's sometimes very hard to do because it could have been something that really struck us deep inside. But we need to talk to God first if that's the kind of situation we're facing, asking him for help for us, and then talk to the individual and ask God to help us to have a soft heart that we can communicate with each other. In James chapter 5, verse 16, and I'll read this from the God's Word version. So admit your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed. Prayers offered by those who have God's approval are effective. And the same thing from the Easy to Read translation. So always tell each other the wrong things you have done. We have to be careful how we do that. But if we've done something to wrong somebody, go to them and apologize and get that out in the open. Ask for forgiveness. Then pray for each other. Do this so that God can heal you. Anyone who lives the way God wants can pray, and great things can happen. Then in verse 17 and 18, we are given some examples of great things that happen when somebody is living according to God's way. James 5, verse 17. Elijah was a person just like us. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Then Elijah prayed that it would rain, and the rain came down from the sky, and the land grew crops again. There are many other examples in the Bible about prayer, and in each of them, there is the fact that communicating with God was by someone who was living the way that is pleasing to God, and their relationship with God was right. And this includes, for us, communicating with each other as well. Communicating with God first, and then communicating with each other, including moving towards forgiveness, forgiving others, and talking to them about it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, God informs us what we need to do to be forgiven and receive his blessings. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14, something that we're all very familiar with. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We can think that way, but often we don't think that we're doing evil. We think we made some mistakes, and we ask God to help us and forgive us for those mistakes. But we are human, and we stumble, and Satan is always poking at us to do wrong. So we need to have a humble heart and turn to God as well and seek his face. When we are forgiven by God and then we forgive others, there is a peace that comes to us that we cannot understand. It's a gift from God. When we are forgiven and we accept that forgiveness, which we'll be looking at in a few weeks, but when we are forgiven by somebody else, when we know we did wrong and they hold a grudge, that bothers us. But when that person comes to us and apologizes and asks for forgiveness, or if we do that towards the other person that we know we wronged, there's a peace that we receive from God that we cannot understand. It's a gift. And that's something to keep in mind when we're struggling with facing those different types of things in our lives that Satan wants us to kind of pull us down with heavy weights. And the communication from God, in this communication from God, we are to use this gift as part of the way that we live. It is to be obvious in our conduct, in our character, and in our personality. An example to others that they will know by watching us because of the love that we show to others. It's very obvious if you were hit some way by somebody and other people at work or somewhere else saw the damage that you received, and then they saw that you turned around and showed love to that individual. That's not normal in human relationships, but that's normal in a relationship that has God in our lives. That is a wonderful example to others around us. And unless we communicate and forgive each other, that can't take place. So the two most important commandments, as we get back into this, in the four different Gospels, so let's turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 30. There's the two most basic, most important commandments that we are given are, here I'll read it in Mark 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, giving it 100%. This is the first commandment, and the second commandment is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So our communication and our forgiveness falls under this umbrella of love. When we love someone, we will communicate with them. We're to love God, and showing that love comes through our communication with him. And we are to love each other and be forgiving to each other. John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6, and I'll read this from the easy-to-read version. If we obey what God has told us to do, then we are sure that we know him. If we say we know God but do not obey his commandments, guess what? We are lying. The truth is not in us, but when we obey God's teachings, his love is truly working in us. This is how we know that we are living in him. If we say we live in God, we must live the way Jesus Christ lived. So how do we do that? Two action steps, and we already covered them both. We communicate and we forgive, both of them falling under the umbrella of love. And with a proper attitude, this is absolutely critical. A bad attitude will stop a car, and a bad attitude will stop us. And also will stop us from receiving blessings. Allowing a bad attitude to get into our lives will cause us, if we're receiving blessings, for that process to slow down. I think we all can recognize this, a little bit of a side, that this country was blessed in many, many ways. The attitude in this country has really been pulled off track. And we can see the blessings to this country waning. Of course, it was prophesied that that would happen, but it all comes back to attitude and obeying God. We do this with passion, willingly giving 100%, and whatever we need to do, plus our attitude, plus whatever we need to do to get this done and to achieve the desired outcome. That's part of spiritual preventative maintenance. If this seems oversimplified, the compassion that we need with others rather than ourselves to meet this requirement that God has set before us, we can be encouraged that God says, my yoke is easy. We can consider this very hard, but God says, my yoke is easy. What he is asking us to do is not as hard. Just take one step forward in faith and do it. In only 3 weeks, we will be in the spring holy days, and what we cover today will be covered in much more detail, and other preventative maintenance items will be covered as well. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, if you will, for the final scripture. When we planned to do preventative maintenance on something, we take the time to gather all of the different tools that we need and the different items, and then we set up a specific time to complete it. The spring holy days, Passover, and the days of unleavened bread, this is a good time for us to be able to gather all the information ahead of time and to complete our spiritual preventative maintenance. Now is a good time to start that preparation. Taking stock in our lives. How do I communicate with God? Is it the way it should be? Can it be improved? How do I communicate with each other? Is it proper? Can it be improved? And do I forgive others? And have I accepted the forgiveness that God has given us? Hebrews chapter 10. So now is a good time to start thinking about this and gathering all of our thoughts. Love God and love each other from the gut, from the heart, because we want to. We are all to walk in faith, and that means we will be found so doing. So this is no small matter to God, and it should not be a small matter to us either. His love for us should show in our love for him and for each other, and our communication with him and our forgiveness from him, accepting it, and with each other should be a very important part of each of our lives. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and again I'll read this from the easy-to-read translation. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. And let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and much more as you see the day approaching.